We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
I'll just give you a warning. Tonight's not going to be a typical message that I would bring. And it's going to be a little bit different than what the norm is. And so just be prepared for that. I will tell you, we are going to get into the Bible, so don't worry. I'm not just going to tell a bunch of stories or something like that. We are going to get into the Word. It's not going to be a typical expositional message where we take a passage and start to pull it apart. I want to share with you something from my heart tonight that is a passion slash burden of mine that really God's been growing and changing in me. You know, all my years in ministry, the one thing that I've always been involved with, especially as I graduated, even to part of college, going into college, I was always involved in youth ministry. That is something that comes, I wouldn't say natural, but more natural than anything else to me. I've always enjoyed working with students, working with teenagers. Yeah, there's a lot of bad times and frustrating times, but I find a lot of joy in pleasure working with students. I think starting in 2000, I started working with teenagers at some way, shape, or form. Wasn't full-time, but trying to learn to preach. And it's funny, when I went back over some of my messages that I wrote back in like 2000 and 2001, they really belong like in a paper shredder, but I was reading through some of those and I was like, I can't believe I actually said that, you know? But it's amazing how God has changed me over the years. And I'll tell you this, I still absolutely love with passion the youth ministry. I love what I get to do. And as I came here to Faith Baptist Church, I remember Pastor having several conversations with me and then some more potent, serious conversations about, I really think you should start getting involved in the music ministry and start maybe playing the guitar. And every once in a while here and there, he had a plan all along. I know that now. But he kept saying that, and my fear was, I don't want to be pulled away from the youth ministry, and if that happens, then you know I won't be able to give as much there. And I will say that over the past several years of being involved in the music and the worship side of that, God has definitely had to grow me and change me. My attitude, I think, towards that, I don't believe it was rebellious or resistant, but I certainly didn't have the best attitude. And God has been changing my heart towards that. And, you know, having the opportunity to take a step away for a period of time and be able to see some things, God really took me to the woodshed, so to speak. And he's still doing that. But I will say that more recently, we've had some more conversations, Pastor Todd and I, and he says, you know, we've all agreed we really need to do some type of ministry that is meeting the need of this college age. Many students who graduate from the youth ministry, and we're in this kind of this area of limbo. What happens? Is there anything for them? And we all agreed something needed to be done, but what would that be? Who would that be? And Pastor Todd and I began to talk and pray together. And we agreed that it would be best that I would try to pursue that ministry. And it was a little reluctancy, of course, and wondering how am I going to manage to do these three different things and still effectively work in the youth and work with the music side and do this. And I think what I thought going into it was, well, how difficult could it be? You know, they're just teenagers who've graduated, and they're just still teenagers, right? Boy, was I dead wrong on that. It is a total different ministry, total different ball of wax, so to speak. Not that you guys are full of wax or anything like that, but it's been a challenge for me. We started this ministry back in the fall of 2014, and really I would say in the past month to 2 months, God has been challenging me, growing me spiritually, but more so towards this ministry, and there's some things that I want to share about. So if I had to kind of tell you what the message is going to be about tonight, I want to share with you what I believe, biblically speaking, is our role as a church to help with the college and career age ministry, essentially. But also want to share with you a burden and a passion that I have that I hope will bleed out to you. I hope that you will see that. But of course, that can't come from me. It has to come from God's words. That's why I feel confident tonight that what I'm going to bring to you is going to be helpful for us as a church. And I hope that you haven't already started to tune me out because you're like, college, not my deal, so I'm not concerned. I just want you to listen to what God's Word has to say And I hope that as we, Pastor Micah says, we leave tonight, we will be challenged to jump on board and get on board with God's plan. I'm going to repeat to you a statistic that you've probably heard myself and Pastor Todd say a lot recently. And it is a true statistic. It's not made up. And it is this, that 70% of young adults drop out of church. If you want to use that phrase, drop out or step away. One thing that's interesting about that, being in youth ministry, I heard that a lot. And I'll be honest with you, it really frustrated me because I almost felt like it was someone was saying, well, what's wrong with this? And maybe it's got to be the youth pastor's fault. And so I automatically took defense and I was like, well, I don't understand, you know. And so I really struggled with that, not just the statistic, but people constantly bringing up and talking about it, like, well, whose fault is it? Is it the parents' fault? Is it the church's fault? And I'm not here to lay blame. I actually am here to hopefully shed some light with some of these statistics, but also share what God's perspective on this is. I want you to understand that between the ages of 17 and 19 years old, this is the typical, statistically, the age group where the dropout, if you will, takes place. Between the ages of 17 and 19 years old, a very pivotal, impressionable, and impactful time in students' lives. In most cases, surveys show that a lack of intentionality in dropping out. In other words, students don't come up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to leave the church. It's something that it happens over a process of time. 80% of young people who dropped out of church said they did not plan to do so during high school. But that is where the questions and the doubts and the frustrations begin to set in, and it began to lead to that process. It's not that most of students rejected church, but teenagers aren't primarily leaving because they have significant disagreements with their theological upbringing or out of some sense of rebellion, but for the most part, they simply lose track of the church and they stop seeing it as an important part of their life. If you really wanted to break it down, that's essentially what a lot, not all, but a lot of students, young people, however you want to label it, that's why they leave. The encouraging part about that 70% that I found in a lot of different studies was that it's not that they leave and never come back. There is a good portion of that 70% that does come back. Unfortunately, sometimes it's through poor choices, and it's through several series of events over a period of years that helps them to realize, hey, I never should have left. And that's a good thing that they come back, but obviously that's not always the best path. That's not what we desire. And so statistically, there were four factors that were found that were most predictive in determining which teenagers would stay in church. In other words, four specific reasons that would help dictate whether they would or would not leave the church. I'm going to give you all four, but there's one at the very end that I think is really what's going to help springboard what we're going to talk about tonight. The first one is this. A student would say, I wanted the church to help guide my decisions in everyday life. Simply put, I wanted the church to be something that helped and related to my life. Was the church relevant to what I was going through? Did it somehow connect with where I was at in my world, in my life, or was it some kind of foreign concept that was geared toward older people and not toward me? And so that was one of the determining factors. The second one was my parents were still married to each other and both attended church. Prior to the age of 18, this is a huge factor. If both parents were still together and both attended church, this was a huge determining factor as to whether or not someone would choose to stay within a local church. The third one was that the pastor's sermons were relevant to my life. Did the pastor bring messages that helped relate to their individual life? These are reasons, some reasons why choices were made to stay or to go. And the last one, and I hope want this one to sink in. Reasons, one reason why some decided to stay or to leave was because at least one adult from church made a significant investment in me personally and spiritually. Now listen, this happened between the age of 15 and 18. Did one adult from a local church, not mom and dad, not aunt and uncle, but did one adult from a local church setting make an impact in my life spiritually and personally? And that impact, that relationship highly affected why a student would stay and involved and in helping to see the bigger picture of the local church. I'm proud and happy to say that in our youth ministry, the very philosophy of why we exist or how we go about existing to accomplish the commission that God has given us is through this very avenue. And that is building relationships with students. We push and we promote small groups, as small as we can, where one leader or two can help to invest and build into the lives of our students and help them to see that it's not just about coming and getting candy and playing games and doing activities. Even though I believe that is needed and it has its place, it is about helping them to see the bigger picture. The local church isn't here to serve you. The local church is the avenue by which we reach the world in our community. Helping them to paint and see that there is a plan individually for your life in big picture that God has for us as a church, and you need to be a part of it. You need to be a part of the body that God intended you to be. So I want to ask a question. If you have a pen and a paper, or you have something that you can write, or you can type in your phone or your tablet, this is a question that I was reading through a book, and I read through this question, and I thought immediately, what a great question to ask a church. And that question is this: what do college-age people need from older believers? What do college-age people need from older believers? Adolescents who are moving from a teenage years in their life and they're needing to make a transition into adulthood. And many times we say, just grow up. Can you just grow up? Quite honestly, the church, we need to help them grow up. I'm not saying we take the place of a parent. Please don't hear me saying that. The parent, by far, is the most influential person that a child can have in their life. That is not what we are doing. What I will say is that we need to work together with the family. The church isn't supposed to be a separate entity from the family. God ordained them both, and they are to work together. And I want to say to you that if this question makes us to think, what is my role? If I'm an older believer, now let me just define what I mean by that word older. Some of you are like, hey, what is that? What is he trying to say? Older, mature, growing in your faith. You've experienced some life hard lessons, and you desire to grow in Christ. You don't have to be 50, 60, 70 years old to be considered an older believer. You could very well be in your 20s, and you're growing in Christ. You are needed within the local church to build relationships and help younger generations who are coming, who are having questions and doubts in their mind about, is this real? Is their faith authentic? Does it mean anything? Or is it just something I heard growing up as a kid that I was taught to believe is true? Well, there's three obstacles to this. Number one, convincing the two different generations that they have something in common. And this is what we find typically in churches. You have this generation over here, and you have this younger generation over here, and they're two separate entities. Yet within the church, but it's like, hey, you do your thing over there, we'll do our thing over here, we'll do this. And that, listen, that's not healthy. I don't believe anywhere you're going to find that in Scripture that God is for that. That's the first obstacle. The second obstacle is helping the older generation overcome feelings of intimidation around the younger generation. Many times, if you're honest, some of them say, I don't connect with them. They're different. I know. But the reality is that's an intimidation that many times keeps us away from pursuing that generation. And then on the other side of that coin, number three, helping the younger generation to understand that the older generation has something unique to offer them. See, we have that dual-sided coin where sometimes the reason we have a separation is because there's not a mutual understanding. Listen, I may not get you. I may not understand you, but I have something to offer you. And on the other side, you may be able to say, you know what, I don't get you either. But I know that there's something you have, some wisdom you could impart in my life that I need to hear. That is sound. That is biblical. And I believe that God has laid out a very clear plan for the local church to be successful, listen, internally. Catch that. Internally. You say, what do you mean? What I'm saying is many times as a church, in the past several decades, as a church, maybe even in America, we have focused on the external. i.e. getting people saved, getting the gospel out. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's bad. But what I'm saying is we have done that so well or so much that we have neglected the internal. We have focused so much on the external that we have neglected the internal, and this has been devastating to the church. And hence, we have the statistic that says that 70% of young people are leaving the church. It's because I believe we have neglected the internal aspect of building relationships. Specifically, younger generations who have grown up in church wondering, is what I've seen all my life really real? Is it really authentic, or is it just external? Is it just something we do on Sundays? Questions that many, many students and college students begin to ask. So if you have a pen, if you're writing anything down, this is what I would say, if you will, is my challenge to us. God's plan for the local church is to build relationships. That's God's plan. You say, well, how do you know that? I want you to now take your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, a very familiar passage to us, especially if you are in our discipleship world, so to speak. We've been pushing that and training discipleship. And a couple weeks ago, we had Brother Todd Ward up here talking about our discipleship ministry and how it's growing, and how in the years ahead, we're hoping to see that discipleship is just kind of a normal part of our DNA. And this is a passage that we constantly use because it is biblical, of course, and it is the command that we have been given. Say, well, what's the command? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to start here. Paul is speaking to Timothy, writing and saying to him this message. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, not his physical son, but a relationship that's been established. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Timothy, the things, verse 2, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There are several things in this verse. Number one, Paul had the relationship with Timothy to be able to speak truth into his life. Do you realize that if you have, as this Pastor Todd has used this statement, if you have rules without relationship, it equals what? Rebellion. I heard somebody say it. Rebellion. Rules without a relationship. Just do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. You will typically get rebellion. And my wife and I, we've had this conversation many, many, many times. The fear of, and both of us growing up into a pastor's home, and we understand what it is to be a preacher's kid and wonder, you know, like she's the oldest of six kids. Three went the right way and three went the wrong way, and dead split. You're like, what do you do? And we talk about why does that happen? And it doesn't mean that if you build a relationship with your kid and you love on them that they will never go astray. Please don't hear me say that. But what I am saying is that if Paul had the right to speak into Timothy's life because he already established something that needs to be happening within our churches, it's a relationship. And when he said in verse 2, the things that you've heard me say to you, everything that I've taught you up to this point, Timothy, you need to do this. You need to find other people. The same thing I taught you, go and teach somebody else. But he didn't just say go teach somebody else. He said teach somebody who will then turn it around and do the same thing to somebody else. The very picture of discipleship. And I'm going to tag this later on in the message, but we've been saying this and saying this and saying this, that this is what discipleship should look like. Relationships. It's not just about learn more about God's Word. We just need to get more knowledge. Pastor said it, and I love it. We are educated beyond our obedience. It's not that we don't need to learn God's Word. We need to obey it. And specifically here, we need to be in obedience to building a relationship with people so we can very well speak truth into their life. Before we go and rebuke somebody of the sin in their life, you have a much better platform if you've built a relationship with them to help them to see in love, brother, I need to tell you something. Then I say, I want you to notice, this is for the guys. Go just over a page to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, you know, growing up, I always kind of wondered, what does this look like in the church? Maybe not so much the previous verse we just read, but looking at Titus chapter 2, Paul again is speaking verse 1 through 2. He's kind of speaking, and he's speaking to the church, but even to the guys here in verse 2. But in verse 3, he changed, and he says, the aged women likewise. Again, don't take offense. Paul's not saying you're old. The word aged here is basically, I would say, is referring to someone, again, who is growing in their faith, walking in Christ, who has experienced some aspects of life, who has something to offer. The aged women, likewise, what do? That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Listen, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The key that I want us to see here in this passage is that there is, again, a relationship. You know, this is not like an economics class where the women sit and now we're going to have a time where we teach you how to be a good wife. And yeah, that there's a time for that, maybe. But I believe what Paul is saying is that there needs to be this maybe is an understood thing that should naturally happen. There should be relationships that are building. But here's the thing. We know, I believe here at Faith, we know how to build relationships. Some are really good at it. Some of us need to work on it. But many times we build relationships with people that are close to our age, right? I'll be honest. I mean, it's not a natural thing to want to go and hang out with 3- and 4-year-olds or I'm in my 30s, hang out with someone who's 80. But you know what we need to be doing is building relationships beyond the circumference of our comfort zone. We need to be building relationships that are intergenerational. That, I believe, is the picture that God paints for us as a church, is that we aren't just stuck in our circles, stuck in our cliques, stuck in our areas, stuck in our ministries, but a healthy church is loving one another. He said, the world will know you by the way you love one another. How loving is it if we're constantly separated and there's this vast gap between us and we just kind of coexist? Oh, well, they do their thing over here and we do our thing over here. I'm not saying that we should all be in the same building all the time. I get that. You guys would go nuts if you were hanging out with teens. But what I am saying is that we need to think differently about the internal aspect of what God has told us to do as a church. I would say this, part of the job for older believers is to embrace their role in the church of not just building relationships, but again, stepping outside of that generational comfort zone. Because this is a two-way street, right? We talked about that. To the older generation, I would say we need to look back to the younger generation and we need to find them and we need to go after them, because that's what maturity does. It helps us to realize they're not going to see the bigger picture. I see it. I need to help them see it. I need to go after them. To the younger generation, I would say you need to see that the older believer definitely has something to offer, that there is wisdom. Doesn't Proverbs say that? Doesn't Proverbs warn us not to isolate ourselves apart from counsel, not to take ourselves away from wisdom? He says, don't remove the ancient landmarks. There is wisdom that many people in this church have that as a younger generation, millennials or even younger than that coming up, that you need to listen to. You cannot separate yourself and say, they're so old and decrepit. What could they possibly know about what I'm going through in life? They may not know how to text and all of that, but God has done something in their life they can help you with. Don't take offense if you know how to text. It's fine. But listen, this is not just a neat idea like, hey, cool new concept. No, this is God's word. This is a command. If you want to have a healthy church, it must be through this vein. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of think God has the patent on that. He kind of knows what works and doesn't. And I believe this is what God's saying, this works. So what is one of our goals in building these relationships? I'm going to give you at least one tonight, to bridge people from adolescent life to adult life. Again, you may think, well, isn't that their parents' job? Let's restate what I said earlier. The family is essential to our life. But that cannot be separated from our church life. And I think sometimes we find a hypocrisy in that, don't we? How we live and act at church is different than how we live and act at home, and therefore we see a clear, distinct separation in our relationships. If we are allowing college-age people into our lives and helping other adults do the same, then what we're doing is we're creating natural, or should I say supernatural, biblical bridges. We're building relationships between generations and fulfilling God's design for the local church to function properly internally. And listen, if we don't function properly internally, guess what's not going to function properly? Externally. If the world doesn't see that within this church, there can be an intergenerational bridge that is made, why would they want to hear what we have to offer? Why would they want the hypocrisy that we sometimes so easily display? And here's just another thought. The younger believer isn't necessarily going to come running to the older believer and say, teach me. We must pursue them. We must desire to build a relationship with them. That's part of that maturing believer who sees the bigger picture that God's painted and wants their life to have a deeper meaning than just having a good life. You know, growing up, I actually heard this as a kid growing up, and even as an adult, hearing it reaffirmed, that many people who are older, please don't take offense, have this mindset, and I've actually heard this said, well, I've done my part. Now it's time for the younger generation to come along, and it's time for them to do the work. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that a 90-year-old man should be taking the offering every Sunday. I do believe some people should be stepping up. However, we cannot have the mindset that, well, I've done my time. Tell me where in the Bible you see that. Tell me where God has given us the okay to just sit back and now be served. What we need, the mindset that we need to have, is that now that I'm at this stage in my life, whatever stage that may be, now that I'm here, how can I best serve my local church to help promote the commission, to help promote the big picture that this world needs Christ? And yes, you can do that by building relationships within the church. I think that's where our disconnect is. We think that we just got to give them the gospel. That's how they'll be saved. Maybe that's true, but maybe it would go much farther if they saw something amazing happening within a local church and they scratched their head and they wondered how. How could they do that? Maybe, just maybe, it's because we have Christ in us and we have a common bond that no matter how old and how different we are in age and likes and differences in generations, no matter how much of that separates us, the one thing that brings us together is Jesus Christ. And we have that as our common bond. Maybe you're saying this, what could I possibly do? How could I possibly help? I love this. This is simple yet powerful and profound information. Allow God to use what He has already done in your life to help in the life of somebody else. Because maybe you're already disqualifying yourself. Well, I don't know what they like. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to relate to them. God says, here's what you need. Have you ever, I'm asking you this. Have you ever gone through something difficult in your life? Have you ever gone through a trial? Didn't we hear about that this morning? Have you ever gone through a hard time? And it was difficult, but you got through it. And today you would look back and say, you know what? Through all of that, God was faithful. Raise your hand if you've experienced anything like that. Okay, I see a sea of hands. God has done some amazing things in my life. And I've gone through some very low valleys and some very difficult times in my life. But I would say today that God is faithful. Then you, my friend, qualify to be used of God to build relationships with people in this church. We cannot have the mindset and the mentality that, well, I come and I sit here and I do this thing and I served, I did my ministry, leave me alone. That is not biblical. God is not for that. I'm challenging us to think and change our heart. Three things that we can practically do when building this relationship. Be an ear to hear. You know, many times the reason young people don't always want to hear what older people have to say is because they're always doing that. They're always telling them what to do. Be an ear to hear. Part of a relationship is a two-way street and you listen. But you can't do that really well until you start to build a relationship. Second thing I would say is be a shoulder when that help is needed. That again, that means that you're listening, you're just being there. Your presence, your relationship means that you're listening to them, and the fact that they're telling you what's happening in your life means that you are now having a platform that one time when the time is needed, and this is number three, when needed, be a mouthpiece of God to them. Then speak the truth into their life. That doesn't mean that if you don't have a relationship with somebody, you can't ever tell them truth. But understand, when it comes time to tell somebody hard truth, that let's be honest, there's sometimes it's hard to tell people hard things. And if you don't have a relationship with them, you have to find a very crafty way to do it without making them very angry. And that is another reason why we need to build a relationship. When an older believer realizes others need the wisdom that they have gained through their life and their life experiences, then two important things happen. When you get that God can use me in my trials and my troubles, and I could point to Christ and say He is good, then two things happen. Number one, you aren't as intimidated because you have more wisdom. You have something to offer. You have insight. And secondly, you realize that it's your experience that is needed, not necessarily that you have an answer to every question and a solution to every problem. You know, sometimes people are like that, and the people who come to them get less and less because every time you go to them, they always have an answer to every problem. They have a quick answer to a solution to everything. God says, you know what? Not that there's anything wrong with speaking truth in that person's life, but you know what you need probably more than anything is just that your experience, what you've gone through, help them to see that you're still standing here, you're still faithful, God is still the same, and you can make it. I can help you. You might be thinking, Pastor Chad, that's great, but I cannot reach a whole generation. That whole 70% epidemic thing, that's like insane. I can't even wrap my mind around that. I have some more great news for you. You ready? You don't have to. Because I'm really confused. What are you trying to tell me? What you and I need to do is reach one. One. Just picture with me for a second. What would it look like? What would it look like if the whole entire church of mature and older believers were pursuing Christ in their life, trying to grow, trying to change, and they all reached out and started trying to build a relationship with a younger believer? I don't know what you think, but when I think about that, when I start envisioning what could that, I see amazing things. I see this church transforming from the inside out. I see us reaching people far greater than we ever thought of outside of these walls simply by building healthy and relationships within the church first. That's what I see. Now, I would love to have a dynamic college ministry where we're just having to like cram college students and like trying to get them into a building because they want to hear more about Jesus. I kind of would like that, but let's be honest. I believe more than college students need to come to another service, have another Bible study, or have another social activity, what they need to have is another believer who has lived and experienced life speaking truth into them and pouring their life into theirs. You know what that means? It's not always telling and giving. It's opening up your life, doing life on life. Come over to my house and let's have coffee. Come over to my house and see the mess in the living room. Come over. That's not funny. Let's do life. That was my son. Let's do life together. The last thing that I want to do is create a college-age ministry for students that grows into an unsustainable parachurch ministry. Do you know what that essentially means? A ministry that's just kind of self-existing. It's by itself, its own. It's supposed to come alongside of a church and help. But many times that's what happens, right? We have younger generations, or whether it's teenagers, youth groups, or college ministries, and they are their own almost distinct separate ministry. There's a college pastor who wrote a book and really had an amazing story. His story was he had an amazing just takeoff. He just probably was a dynamic speaker, and it just began to grow by the thousands. And he said, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do anything the way I did it. People looking at him and calling him, hey, tell me what to do. What did you do to make your college ministry explode? Man, you're awesome. He said, "I what I found was I couldn't sustain it. And you know why he couldn't sustain it? Because essentially it was built on him. So the last thing I would want to do is build a ministry where people are dying to get in. And God, we just want to come in here. We want to do this activity. We need to have a college ministry that is sustained by the local church, because that is God's design. We need a college ministry, but we need a college ministry that's healthy through the local church help. through everyone in here realizing, hey, are you telling me that I can have a part in that? You may not want to come and hang out with college students. That's fine. As a whole, as a group, that may be a little weird to you. But I'll bet that a college student would love if someone would feed them. Amen? Bring them over to our house and we'll feed you. We will give you stuff. We can like just spoil you. And the college student is like, oh, I would like to do that a lot. We need to have a church that cares about all generations and all ages. Not just to have a ministry and a program so they can go over to a certain corner and do their thing, but to have a church that connects with all ages and desires to help them bridge to the next phase and stage in their life. Imagine if a college-age student came onto this property, knowing that when they drove on to the property, they weren't just coming to hang out with a group of students to learn more about the Bible, but they knew that there was at least one person or one couple that cared about them, that prayed for them, and was truly interested in building a good relationship with them. That if they weren't just coming here to get, they were coming here to know that somebody cares for them and loves them and knows they're going to reach out to them if they're not here. Hey, where have you been? We miss you. How can we help you? How can we pray for you? Church, we need to continue on the path that we're taking right now with our discipleship. I'm so excited about the discipleship that's growing within our church. And what I'm talking about tonight is the epitome of discipleship. You may hear me saying we need to help grow the college ministry, and I want to do that, but what I'm trying to say is we need to do that through the vein of discipleship, of building relationships with people. You say, well, what's the point of just building a relationship so I can feed them? No, so you can help disciple them and pour into their lives. See, it's not just about going through a curriculum. It's not just about taking a Bible and saying, I want you to fill in this blank, and it says the answer is this. There's importance to that. There's value to it. But that's not what discipleship really is. Discipleship is, hey, did you say you went through this in your life? How did you do that? How did you get through that? Because I'm going through something similar to that, and I'm struggling. Why? Because you've opened up your life and you've allowed a relationship to blossom and bloom. And then when the time comes, then you can be the mouthpiece that God wants you to be. Then you can be that person who helps them to see the bigger picture. So my request to you, I'm going to close with this. My request to you as a church is this. And my challenge that I believe is coming straight from God's word is, will you say, I choose to be a part of God's plan to build an intergenerational bridge or relationship to help bridge the gap of this epidemic of young people leaving the church? You don't have to write it down, but I want you to catch the question. Will you choose to be a part of God's plan to build an intergenerational bridge or relationship to help bridge the gap of this epidemic of young people leaving the church? Timothy, the same thing that you have heard me say to you, go and find faithful men and do thou likewise. Women, go to the young women and teach them, build relationships with them, help them to see how to, in Christ, be a wife, how to, in Christ, be faithful, how to, in Christ, do all of those things.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.